This was our team that went to Nicaragua. Thank you for your prayer last week as you sent them off, or 2 weeks ago now, you prayed for them. And I was on vacation. I had a great time. And then I came right back from vacation and left with them. And it was a great, great time of ministry. But thank you for praying, because I want to commend this team. You were an incredible team. You did not click within yourselves. You just worked together. You did whatever you were asked to do, and you did it faithfully. You did it incredibly, and I just want to thank you for that as I watched you serve, and so you poured yourselves out, so thank you. This morning, I asked them to share with you. One of the things the missionary asked them to do was, when you get back home, you need to have an elevator testimony about your trip. What's an elevator testimony? Well, when you're in an elevator, you don't have very long to share anything with somebody going from floor to floor. So how quickly can you share it without just going, wow, it was, I was there, and okay. But how quickly can you really share what was on? So I said, I don't want it to be that quick, but I want them to share with you the impact that this trip made upon them and what they experienced. So Chris, we'll start with you. He was our loader and unloader. Thank God that Chris was there. Some of those suitcases on our first launch were quite heavy with the ministry bags, but man, Chris stood right there. I'm like, God, thank you for strength. He didn't give it to all of us, but he gave it to some. But Chris, would you share with us maybe a story or an impact or some of your experience in Nicaragua?
Awesome. Anyways, how's everyone doing? Good? Awesome, awesome. Well, on the first day we got there, it was later in the day, we went to this little village. And thank goodness for our bus driver, Miguel, because he got us through this little turning dirt road ravine where if we fall off one end, we're basically dead. And he was the greatest. But anyways, we got into this village, and it really shocked me. It was these houses were nothing more than dirt floors and wood and metal walls, and we're running a little program there to teach the kids about Jesus and the people there, and for me especially, I expected people not really to be happy or have much joy, but when you went around looking for kids, these little kids would run up with smiling faces and just grab your hand, and then just walk around with you, and you didn't see a smiling face. I mean, sorry, let me re-explain that. Everyone had a smiling face, whenever where you went. And it really put into perspective about my life, because these people have nothing, but yet if my phone dies, maybe I will freak out for a good couple of seconds, you know what I'm saying? Or like your car breaks down, you feel upset, but these kids, they don't even know where their next meal is coming from, and they'll give whatever they have, and they're just so generous and loving, and that's what really shocked me. So.
Yeah, one of the first things we did when we arrived, we learned how to smile in Spanish. And it seems to be working almost every language. And he's talking about we did several things. When we first arrived, we went to two different feeding centers and did ministry in both those places and played with the kids and had fun and shared. And then on Saturday, we actually went to the dump that you saw here, and then we did some house-to-house visitation from where the people live that are working in the dump. Then Sunday we had church, Sunday morning and Sunday night. We'll share about that. And then Monday we started a camp with the kids. There were 43 kids, so it was a great time. And so we spent over 50 hours, 2.5 days with the kids. They slept with them, they ate with them, they played with them, they taught them. We did services twice a day. It was great. And then we had a free day, and I think everybody was happy about that. And then it took us a whole day to get home, but it was a great trip. So Gracie, share with us part of the story and impact upon your life.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you about one little girl in particular. I call her my little angel, Angelica. And she was at the camp, but I had met her previously at a church program we had done earlier in the week. And I remember thinking, this girl is a handful. Like, she was very hyper, kind of violent, just running around going crazy. And when she got to camp, I remember thinking, oh God, please do not put her in my group. She's just going to be a lot to handle. I don't really want to deal with that. But God did this funny thing, and he put her in our group, and he made me just completely fall in love with this girl. I carried her around with me everywhere we went. We'd sing when we'd walk. She'd cry on my shoulder, and she would call me Mama. And I just had such a strong connection with this girl. And on the last day, we had to line up the kids for them to get ready to go on the bus. And she had been crying on my shoulder for a while, so I was just kind of going to go stand in line with her and wait with her. But Ken Dout, the missionary, calls out to me, and he says, "You have to let her go. She can do it on her own now." And he just meant to set her down on the ground, but those words hit me because we all made these crazy connections with the kids after 3 days, and after only 3 days, we had to let them go. And we have to believe and pray that they can do it on their own now because we've preached Jesus' love into their hearts, and we have to pray and keep believing that God is with them, and he's going to continue to touch them and show his love to them. And in Nicaragua, the whole country is just so based on first impressions, and something that stuck with me is don't let your first impression of someone change the way that you love them, because if I had done that with this little girl, I would never have had that experience with her and been able to love her the way that I did.
Amen. Bailey, tell us about your experience.
My favorite part of the trip was definitely taking all of those kids to camp because most of them have never been on a bus or away from the village that they lived in, and we took them 2 hours away from where they had lived, and we just got to love on them. And even though there was a bit of a language barrier, there was so much love given throughout those 2-3 days that we were with them. And it was so cool to learn about the kids because a lot of them, they don't get fed back home. They don't get loved by their parents, and they're told that they aren't good enough, that they're not worthy. So it was just so awesome to get the chance to tell them that they are worthy and they are loved and just to pour into them. And it was so awesome to see them surrender everything to Jesus and be filled with the Holy Spirit and just be so in love with when they have nothing. And it just opened my eyes so much throughout the entire week that no matter where you are in your life, past, present, or future, that God can save you and that he loves you and he has such a bright future for every single person. So it was very moving.
Amen. Amanda.
Man, every part of this trip was totally incredible. And there's so many stories I want to tell right now, but I had to pick just one. So what I'm going to share is about this little boy. We called him Antonio. I couldn't really understand what he was saying. He was a little 6-year-old boy, so I called him Antonio. I was like, I think that's close enough. But he responded after me calling him that a few times. So I was like, okay. So I think it worked out. And just throughout the camp, just the relationships with you that you build with these kids is unreal. And this little boy, he was a runner. The first day, we get to the first spot, everyone sits down, he just gets up and runs across the camp. I'm like, oh boy. So yeah, it was exciting at first because it's hard. You don't speak their language. You're like, a key, here. That and baño, the only words I learned this whole week. But
a key but means
here, and then baño.
Here, how do you? And what does that mean?
Baño.
No, the first one.
Oh, a key is here.
Here.
Yeah.
And
yep.
I remember watching Amanda come to the very first station, and she was missing some kids. And she walked in. But she, she just kept picking up. She's like, get here. And the other one was baño, which.
Bathroom, yeah. Ma'am. I learned that one fast.
Yeah. They had to go to the bathroom a lot.
Yeah.
We'll explain why.
But this little boy, he kind of kept to himself and ran away by himself a lot. And he was a little bit shyer. And the last day, actually, throughout the camp, I'll tell a little lighthearted story because everyone else is probably going to share deep stories. Throughout the week, I wanted to tell my kids that I love them. And te amo is I love you in Spanish. But I accidentally said yo te amo, which is I love myself. I said that to every single one of my kids. It was a little awkward. I was wondering why they would just look at me and be like, afterwards, I was like, I'm saying I love you. Come on. Some response. But eventually I did tell them, not yo te amo, te amo. that was interesting. But this little boy, throughout the whole thing, I was he kind of was just more of a melancholy personality and kind of by himself. And I was I really hope he's getting something out of this week of camp, and really just feeling God's love. And the last day we were all able to have our final farewell where all the kids come up and say thank you for doing the camp, and they have a translator translate it. And this little boy came up. He was on my team. And he grabs a microphone and just, like, stands there silently, like, shifting from foot to foot. And he's just like, and it's like, it's getting, like, awkwardly long. So, like, another little girl tries to grab the microphone. And he's like, no, no. And he just, like, stands there and whispers something in the mic, like, shh, shh, shh. And no one can hear him even. But, like, the translator, like, is translating. And he's saying, like, thank you for all you've done for us. Like, we appreciate you. And just, you know, just little things like that. And then he whispers in the translator's ear and says, Psalm 41. And we're like, oh, is that the Bible verse? Oh, we remembered the Bible verse. But it wasn't the Bible verse. Like, wait, what does Psalm 41 say? So we looked it up, or the missionary looked it up. And this is how that chapter starts, with this verse. Blessed is he that considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. And, man, like, that got me. And this little boy that I was like, I don't even know if he's going to get anything out of this week, you know. He just was so grateful for the time that we did give him. And it was awesome to have that opportunity.
Amen. I don't know what, I mean, we were there, and we're like, there's, I mean, John 3:16, right? Come up with a verse that everybody knows. And when he threw out, we're like, this cannot be by the Spirit of God. I mean, it was a powerful, powerful moment. So, and Grace Perry, what happened in your life? Your experience?
A couple days before camp, we went to this village to pass out rice, and I had the opportunity to meet this older lady named Julia, and she couldn't walk. So she shared us, like, her testimony about how she heard about this man who went to the church and was healed. And she said, take me to the God who heals. So they actually had to carry her, and they carried her, like, 8 miles to the church. And they prayed over her, and she was instantly healed. She can walk. She also gave her heart to God, too, so it was awesome. And me and Pastor Brooks and Bree, we were praying over her, and she said something so touching. She's like, I just want God to never leave me. So we told her, like, God will never leave you. And she started to cry. It was awesome.
Amen. It was a great story, you know, because what God is doing since just the video, because they saw no fruit for a couple of years. And now God's saving people, God healed. And then this was one of the ladies, and it was just a powerful, powerful impact. This was at the dump. We did the morning. We went and served with the people at the dump, and then we went and visited their homes. And this was one of the homes. We broke in the teams, and it was a great, great experience. But to watch this older lady, who the doctors have said you're dying, and these men, it sounds like the Bible times, doesn't it? Carried her to meet Jesus, and she did, and is healed. Incredible. Amen. Ashlyn.
All right, like some of the others have said, there's so many stories I could share, but you saw in the video earlier about the dump, and as my dad just said, we were there and we served with them, so for like 45 minutes we walked around. We like each chose like a person to help, so like with our bare hands we're digging through trash and like dirty diapers and food and all these things. And they told us before we got off the bus, like, to kind of pretend you're comfortable there, like pretend you're in your living room. And it's really hard to do that when you're standing in piles of trash and flies are buzzing all around you and there's vultures everywhere. But it was just so humbling to stand there with them and help them. And you just realize like how grateful we are for what we do have, because we throw away so much stuff, you know, and it's things we don't even need. Yeah, these people are digging through, and I saw people eating the things in the trash. And it's just, it breaks your heart because we have so much here, and it just humbles you. It makes you realize that we need to be more grateful for what we do have.
Amen. Andrea.
So the thing that amazed me the most when we were there is just that these children and this culture is just so loving and so accepting of you. And like many of them have said, we walked in, and these kids, they didn't know us, we didn't know them, but you just love on them, and they just loved right back. And that to me, like, I was just blown away by that, that even in the end, like, these kids are crying, we're crying as they're all leaving, as we've been with them for 3 days, not even 3 days. And it really just challenged me that, like, it's so easy to just walk around and not, like, not engage with people, not have these relationships. But we can't do that. We have to be joyful, especially in our circumstances where we're so, so blessed. And so that just really challenged me and inspired me to love the people around me so much more and to be like these kids were.
Amen. Yeah. Joey Finelli, tell us your story.
Okay, well, obviously, like everyone else has said, there's like a ton of stuff that went on. And in that picture there, during the camp, we had like three like big like times of prayer where we'd either split off into our like our color teams or we'd just have all the kids come up and we'd just pray over them. So that's what you see in that picture. And that was really powerful on Tuesday night. That's where that picture is taken from. And we were just praying that like the Holy Spirit would fill them, that they would just like be like overwhelmed with God's love. And there was a pastor there who was from Nicaragua, and he was kind of leading that altar time, and he was just praying, and it was a really powerful moment. But one specific thing I want to share is about a girl, Naomi. I don't think we have a picture, but she was really attached to me during the week. She was, like, such a sweetheart. In fact, like, she wouldn't let me interact with other kids because she would get angry if I was with other people. She told me that I was only hers and that I couldn't be with any other kids. And she would even get a little sassy if I ever did, like, hold another like little kid's hand or like play with someone else. She would like look at me, like glare at me, and like not talk to me for like an hour or so, but it was okay. But anyway, with that girl, she had an incredible story, her and her sister, and then she also had some brothers, but I didn't really hear about them because they weren't at the camp. But she had some scars on her stomach because her and her sister, because they had gone to the church, their mom had abused them for going to church. She had poured hot oil on them just because they had gone to church, and for some reason she didn't like that, she didn't agree with that. So they were punished for doing that. So like just that and having the opportunity to love on her specifically and all the kids who come from situations where they might, you know, like feel like hurt by their parents just for like trying to follow God for someone that they're like passionate about and that they want to know more about. So like their courage and like continuing to go to church, to go to the camp with their church, like was so like amazing that even like through that, that they would like, I don't know, keep that passion for God, and to just be able to love on her over those 3 days was an amazing experience. And to like let her know that God loves you, like he'll protect you, he'll be there for you. That was just really impactful to me.
Amen. And what some of these kids encounter, the persecution they go through because they've met love at the church, that many of them are being abused when they go home because the parents don't understand. And so it amazes us all when we hear these stories that it's like, you know, church, we don't even know what persecution is. And these kids, I mean, in the midst of that, they keep a smile on their face, and yet they have very little, but they have very much because of who they've met. And so as you hear these stories, and you're welcome to ask any of them because they have multiple stories they could tell you about this, but thank you for sharing. Hannah.
So one thing that really touched me this entire week while we were in Nicaragua was just how passionate the people were for Jesus and how willing they were to serve God and also to serve us. So the first encounter was when we were at the Revis dump. We went around house to house giving people rice and inviting them to church. And they were just so excited by the notion of the possibility of a bus coming to pick them up at 4:15 right outside the dump, like, be there. And they were all, like, we had mentioned before that they had done this before, but only 7 people had showed up. And so we're kind of going out with that kind of mentality. When we go to get the people on the bus, a bunch of us kids, or the younger ones went out to do that. And we packed an entire, like, school bus full of people. And they just kept coming. We kept having to like stop on the side of the road and be like, no, get in that bus, right? There's no room in this. Like, get on that bus. Just over and over again. And they looked so beautiful, right? They had scrubbed themselves. They put on their best clothes. They were ready to worship God. And when you walk in, like, the presence of God, I would say, was really there as soon as they walked in the door, right? Like, there wasn't, before worship even started, these people were filling the little section we had set up for them. I was sitting next to this adorable little girl who kept, like, coming over and hugging me and, like, lifting her hand during praise. And then when there was, like, a Bible reading, I'd open up my Bible. I didn't know what I was opening it to, but I opened the Bible. And they'd all crowd around, like, all the little kids to, like, point and flip the pages. And they were just so passionate. And then, I mean, we can all attest, we were all there. Like, during prayer time, the altars were flooded. We all walked up. I'm like, oh, there are 3 people. And then I turned around, and it was just, like, everyone was there and everyone was worshiping God, and it just touched me so much to see these people who have nothing, right, who would not have this, like, as an opportunity often, just so passionate for Jesus, so excited to be there in front of him. And we saw that again in the kids that we took to camp. My little, you know, I had a couple boys who were just so passionate for God. They would weep. They would weep during prayer. They would just raise their hands and worship. And just, they had such a servant's heart. Right, even to me, there was like a little girl who kept giving me her food, right? Her parents had bought her special snacks, and she was like giving it all to me. I'm like, no, this is for you. But she's like, they want to give, right? They want to serve both the Lord and us. And it was just so touching to see that. Like, how often do I say, you know, 8 o'clock in the morning is just a little bit too early. I had like another hour of sleep. Maybe I won't go to first service. You know, like things like that, where I'll just make excuses to not come here when there are kids who would do anything. There are people who would do anything to be able to come into the presence of the Lord, come into a place of worship every day if they could. It just touched me so much to see that. It was such a perspective changer for me.
Now, many of the team members went out to, you know, not only invite, we had them invited, but then we went back that next day at 4:15, and there's all these people. They were there. Me and Pastor Scott were at the church because both of us were ministering that evening, but we were at the church and we looked out and this bus is driving up. I mean, tears began to come out of my eyes because there's this full bus. And then got in and they filled up a whole section. It was incredible. Probably about 250 people that evening on a Friday night. They have church all the time. And how would y'all like to have church tomorrow? Yeah. And but that's what they do. And it was a powerful, powerful service, as well as these folks that came and were touched. And we were a part. You got to understand, those seven people who came before, there were seven. And now a whole busload have been to church. That's the first time. And that's why getting a church back in their area where they could go, could you imagine what will happen in Rivas as God begins to move? Joseph, you were with us. Tell us your story.
One thing I liked about our mission trip to Nicaragua is that at camp, we help kids just be kids. Every day, they work hard to provide for their family and are forced to grow up faster. In our camp, we help the kids to have fun and just relax and be kids. We showered them in love and just helped them and cared for them and everything. It's amazing what we can do in just a few days. I'm very glad I helped them, and I was able to go to Nicaragua.
Bree?
So at home, these kids get like barely anything to eat, and some of them get nothing to eat. And at camp, they get 3 full meals a day, and they also win like candy as prizes. And so this little 6-year-old boy, Josue, he had won some candy, and he didn't want to eat it all. He offered me a piece. And if I had like nothing to eat and then I just got all this candy, I would have like eaten it all myself. I wouldn't think, oh, let me give you some. But like his first instinct was to like share, and it was just so like touching and humbling how he just wanted to like give some to me and not like keep it all to himself. So yeah.
Being new in this church, I really didn't know these kids when I went to the trip. But, you know, I got to know them. And what stood out for me is working with them. I saw how they ministered. They were, like, so willing, always available, always on the go to do whatever that was given to them. And I appreciated it. And then also they showed conditional love to the kids. You know, they loved them, they cared for them, they fed them, they played with them, they gave attention to them, they talked with them, and, you know, they really did what, you know, whatever missionaries would do, and they did excellently. And also, you didn't hear any complaint. They just did what they have to do. Even when we went to the dump site, no complaint, you know, even though it was filthy and smelly. And, you know, I'm so proud of our team, and I'm glad I got to go and got to know them. I would like to go with you again someday.
Amen. We appreciate that, Zadie, but she worked hard herself. She was right there serving. I mean, and we all wore ourselves out. We gave it all, but It was a great trip. Pastor Scott.
When I was thinking about what I wanted to say today, I could think of a lot of the stories that you just heard here. But what really jumped out at me the most is a passage of scripture from Romans 10 that talks about the fact that how can somebody call on the Lord if they haven't heard, and how can they hear unless someone has spoken, and how can someone speak unless they've been sent, yeah. And how beautiful are the feet of those who go. Church, thank you. The vast majority of these individuals up here didn't pay a single dollar to go on this trip because people like you supported them to go on this trip. And one of the things that's Ken Dowd's heartbeat and his vision is that Nicaraguans are going to become missionaries, and they're going to be able to enter countries because of the government that they have that is very on par with a lot of dictatorships around the world. We can get into Nicaragua, but we can't get into some of the countries that they can get into. And his vision is the fact that one day, when we get to heaven, that we may have someone who comes up to us from North Korea and thanks us because we are willing to go to a camp and love on a Nicaraguan child, and that child then went to North Korea and shared the gospel with them. We don't know how far our fruit really is, and we won't know until we get to heaven. But those of you that supported, whether through prayer or through finances, you have a part of that too. We left, and there's sometimes with mission trips where there's still money that we're attempting to get in after the fact. Every dollar of this trip was paid a week before the trip ever happened. And, yeah, please, yes. It's because of generosity of those of you in this room who helped make this trip happen. Because we can do all the preparation, we can do all the actual going, but if we don't have anyone sending, the work still doesn't get done. And let me just challenge you, whether you're the youngest person in this room or the oldest person in this room, we are all called to missions, whether it's going or whether it's sending. We're all supposed to be in on this. And those of you that are going to Royal Family this week, we did Royal Family Kids Camp in Nicaragua. You're doing Royal Family Kids Camp in Wayne County. It's the same kids. It's the same problems. It's the same issues. Those of you that are going to have runners this week, realize the fact that the runner, the kid that's the most difficult, the one at the end of the week that's going to be saying the passage of scripture or the little bit of something that's going to tug your heart and say, this was worth it because I was used by God. And those of you that are sitting in this room like, well, how can I get involved? Well, next Friday, there's a birthday party here at the church. Maybe clear your schedule.
One of the things I ask team members while I'm around them, I'm like, would you do this again? Did everybody hear that from me? And they're like, yes, because we're not done. We went, we've come back. In fact, what I'm about to talk about, we still have a mission. There'll be more missions trips to do. There are still thousands and millions to hear the gospel. But thank you for doing your part this past week and loving Jesus and loving others. Appreciate you. Thank you. Would you appreciate taking one more time? You can be seated. Thank you. Ask Bailey to stay for just a moment because Bailey is going back to Nicaragua August 25th. She has given herself for a one-year program called Engage. She has been approved by the National Office of our Assemblies of God. And as a missionary, she's going to be going there. She's actually going to be doing two things kind of at once. She'll be there doing online schooling as part of the Engage program so that she doesn't lose out on credits and working at her schooling. But she's going to be working alongside Ken and Kendra Doubt and an Engage program. There'll be other kids from all over the nation going there. And kind of testing the waters to see what's in their hearts. For Bailey, we've talked about it a little bit, that she feels in her heart there's a pull, there's a tug toward missions. And we want to give her that opportunity to experience, is this where you're called? Or is this what you're, is it full time? Is it, what is it? And this will give her that opportunity. But I want to give you the opportunity because as God calls our young people into ministry, I want our church to be on the foundation level of sending. And so she's going to be doing this. It'll be a three-month session, the first part, and then she'll come back, and then she'll go back for 6 months. So really, altogether, it's a nine-month program. And we want to kind of pour into her, and I want to give you an opportunity, because she has been approved, to be able to support her and help her. And you can do that monthly. You'll be able to just write her name if you want to fill out an envelope, and once a month or every week if you want to send her that. You can do that, or maybe a one-time gift. And I'm going to bring her name up for the next few weeks before she leaves as a reminder, and because I want to help send her. I want to be a part of what God's doing in our kids' lives. And you're not a kid anymore, but you're a kid. You know what I mean. And she's growing, but allowing, giving herself to this. And we were talking a little bit while we were on the field, because the missionary would say, okay, you're going to have a backpack, you're going to have your own little hammock, and we're just going to string it between two trees. Because we went to an established place and did ministry to keep the producing of it, but she'll be hitting places and fields that we didn't go, and places that the missionaries are still reaching out to. And so we're excited to see God calling our youth into ministry. Bailey, I just want to give you an opportunity to share with them maybe what a little bit of your heart there.
Okay, so I went to Nicaragua 4 years ago on the mission trips that we went on, and I felt it in my heart, God calling me to missions. And I met engaged students while I was down there, and I was like, this is definitely something I want to do when I graduate high school. And this past week being down there, God placed it on my heart to full-time ministry down there. So I want to keep seeking him and keep being able to take opportunities that's placed in front of me to see where he's taking me and where he's guiding me. And just to give you like an insight on some things I'll be doing is we go to the hospital in the middle of the night and we pray for people that are coming in just for healing. And they were telling me that they've seen people come in with a broken arm before they even enter the hospital, and engaged students pray for them, and then they walk away and don't even have to go in. And we canoe up lakes, and we backpack through the mountains, and sleep in people's homes and eat any food they give us, whether it's cow brain or beans. So I'm super excited to see how God's going to use me. So if you guys can just pray for me or financially give, that would be amazing.
Amen. We'll pray for her before you head off that Sunday before, but just even now, Lord, we just pray that you are the great provider. Lord, not just finances, but Lord, the ministry you're calling her to. Lord, you said you would go ahead of us and prepare the way. And Lord, we ask you to do that. Thank you for the touch of God upon her life. Lord, the sensitivity to the Spirit. And Lord, just equip her with everything she needs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 This morning, I don't have a long sermon by any means, and I don't want to, you know, keep you for any length, but I want to share with you a couple of things. Last Sunday morning, I had the opportunity of, we went to a village that the missionaries had never been to before. In fact, we met a truck off the kind of the main highway, and they're like, just follow the truck, and we just began to drive back into the bush and into the jungle of Nicaragua. And finally, we arrived at this place, and there was hardly anybody kind of there, but we get off the bus, and a few kids come up, and they started playing a game with the kids. And before long, all of a sudden, more and more people began to come, and we had about 12 to 15 kids show up, and they asked us to come that morning. We'd never done any ministry there, and so they asked me to share that morning, and so I did. I used the story of little David when he was anointed to be king, and yet he has seven older brothers that God didn't choose. And we talked about things like popularity or wealth, and you're not chosen because of those things. Not that they're bad, but God was looking for a heart, and little David had the heart, and it was him that was chosen. Well, I gave an altar call, and one little brave little boy stepped out, and then another girl beside him, until all of them responded that morning. And we had our own altar call underneath a tree. I've never preached beside a pig before, but that morning I did. you ought to be thankful I've never called you a pig, so I've never preached next to a pig. But it was an incredible moment. Church, you need to understand there is a mission. And the mission is wherever we are at the moment. Last Sunday morning, it was that place for me. But tomorrow morning, it may be somewhere else. In fact, there is a mission that we've all been called to. And I want to read just two passages to you. Acts chapter 4, two verses. Peter and John have been arrested for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then the Sanhedrin court, this is the Jewish leaders, were questioning them. Why are you preaching this? And what are you saying? And so Peter begins to tell them why. And in verse 11, this is what he says. Jesus, the stone you builders rejected. Now you need to understand, the Jewish community thought they were building something. They were building religion, though. They were building based on, you've got to do this, and this, and this. But they said, Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Jesus, you need to understand, is the foundation of the church. He is the one who we worship. He is the reason that all these team members went. They didn't go just for themselves. They went to as representatives of Jesus, the cornerstone. But hear what Peter says in this very next verse to these religious leaders. Salvation is found in no one else. Can I tell you this morning, there are a lot of religions out there that are misleading people and directing them down the wrong path. You need to know that Jesus is the only way. Listen, Islam is coming on strong. I don't know how, but they are one of the fastest growing religious movements out there. Church, it is time for us to rise up again. And listen, you're going to hear me in a verse coming up, but you need to know we don't have anything to fear. We have the name of Jesus. And salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. This is the message, not only for the Jews, but we find out in Acts chapter 10. By the way, does anybody know what Acts stands for? We have this term, we call it Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. What were Acts? It was the Acts of the church and the Holy Spirit's movement. Every time you go to Acts, what was happening? What were the acts that were taking place by the new church that was growing in Christ? Well, this was early on. But in Acts chapter 10, we find that Peter now is at a Gentile's house, Cornelius' house. And he's sharing the gospel and sharing with him. And I want you to hear these verses this morning. Beginning at verse 36, he's telling them, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel. Remember the message back in chapter 4. He's the one you rejected. Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one you've been looking for, but you've rejected him. He's the cornerstone. Salvation is in him. That was the story that the people were hearing, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is what? Did you know he's not just going to be a Lord of all? He wasn't just made Lord of all at the cross. He has always been Lord of all. Listen to what verse 30, you know what has happened throughout the province of Judea. People were getting saved. By the time of Acts 4, 5,000 people had come to Christ because they were sharing the good news. He said, you've heard of what's happened. Beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Church, I have a question this morning. Is God with you? If God is with us, who can be against us? Church, we have a gospel, a mission, a declaration, a proclamation that we need to make that Jesus is the only one by which you can be saved, the only name, the only Savior of the world. And Peter is preaching and telling them, this is what he's done. In the verse 39, we are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people. Church, you need to understand, you have now been commanded because you have a mission that you are on to do what? Oh, I know, this is where preaching happens. No! I'm encouraging, motivating, I'm strengthening the church, helping the church, equipping the church to do the work of the ministry. You have been commanded, go and preach the gospel, the good news. Preach to the people and to testify. Church, how many of you are believers in Jesus Christ? You have a testimony. You have been saved. You have been redeemed. You have been called. And you need to give testimony to what God has done in your life. That's all this team did last week. We were just there giving testimony. He saved us, redeemed us. That last Sunday morning, I shared that little Bible story. And all I knew to do next is to tell my story of how he saved me, redeemed me, he's healed me. And then they will respond because it's the Holy Spirit's job to save. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. We just testify and preach that good news of the one God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. That's Jesus. For all the prophets testify about him. He is the one, church, that the Old Testament, every prophet is declaring about him. And everyone, listen, everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Why would we want to leave anyone in their sin? Church, there is a mission that we've been called to.